A to Z of college recruiting. This is the show where you'll learn about the latest tips and tricks on how to maximize your scholarship opportunities tenfold. You'll learn the hows, whys, and whats of college recruitment and scholarships. Let's get into it.
Welcome, everybody, to the 34th episode of the NSR podcast. We're absolutely flying through the podcast.
34.
I don't know where the time has gone, but it's going so quick. We'll be at 50, then 100 before you know it. But Matt, you're back on this week.
I am back.
You have a good time off.
Look,
recuperate, recovery.
Well, it's been a good week in the States. Was pretty busy.
Yeah.
I have to say that I think I reversed jet lag because I was only there for a week. So I started feeling it just before I was ready to come back, and then I got on a plane and came back and ship shape,
ready to go today.
Feeling good.
Ready to go. Awesome, guys! Don't forget to subscribe to YouTube. What else is there? iTunes, any other podcast app in the Google Play Store or the Apple
Store.
Rate us on iTunes.
Give us one of those star ratings.
Give us a star rating, trying to climb up the charts.
With the ultimate goal of making it to Spotify.
We want to get to Spotify. That's the goal. But as we've been saying the past few weeks. So keep sharing us. Keep liking us. Trying to increase the viewers and the reach on the podcast. So hopefully you guys can help us with that. Now, today, what are we going to be talking about?
The day
life. Thanks for asking, Jacob. I'm going to be talking about a day in the life of a student athlete. We're going to be talking about a day in the life of a student athlete. What happens in the morning? What happens during the middle of the day? And what happens during the night? Is that all the parts of a day?
Yeah. And then you get up and do it all over again.
Exactly. So a day in the life of a student athlete. It's a pretty full on day, but we'll get into the ins and outs of that.
Busier than you'll ever be in your entire life, but the enjoyment factor is sky high. It's so good.
Exactly. And we're going to be doing something, pretty cool today and something a little bit different with the green screen behind us. So if you are watching, we're going to play a little bit of Where's Wally, except not Wally. We're going to be playing Where's Marco. So if you see this, whatever's on the green screen behind us, throughout the podcast, whenever you see it, it'll be hidden somewhere on the green screen, Marco's face. What you'll have to do is reply to the email where you received the podcast from with the minute and second that you see Marco's face. So, and we'll have a prize for the person who gets back to us first. I have no idea when and where it's going to be because I haven't edited or anything yet. So,
yeah. should be pretty fun though.
Yeah, it'll be pretty fun. So, hopefully you guys enjoy that. There's a little prize for the first person who gets back to us with the minute and second of this video where you see Marco's head. So, just a little bit of fun for the podcast, and we'll do that every now and then with prizes for you guys. So all you have to do is reply to my email with the minute and seconds. Anyway, pretty fun.
Sounds great.
Awesome. Can't wait.
I see enough of Marco, but not all of you do.
Exactly.
So it's a good chance to get involved.
Yeah. Awesome. So we'll get into this week's episode. Hopefully you guys enjoy it. All right, so we'll start with a bit of an overview of the year first and foremost, so the academic calendar, and then we'll touch on sort of the athletic seasons within the year. We'll go over a day in the life during preseason and then a day in the life during the actual athletic season, when you have classes and whatnot and juggling all of that side of things. So we'll follow the academic calendar of the year to make it a little bit easier, but just a refresher. The academic year, you start school in the States pretty much in the beginning of September.
Late August, early
September, depending on the school. Each institution's different. And you'll pretty much finish sort of very early May. And again, it'll be different from school to school. The seasons are pretty much as follows. So August to October, give or take maybe a couple of days.
Yeah, a few weeks.
Exactly, is fall. So August, October is pretty much fall. November to around February is winter. And spring is usually from March to
about May.
To sort of May.
Yeah.
And then the summer months where you have 3 months off from school.
June, July, August.
June, July, August. And again, as I said, give or take a few days here and there.
And the school year follows the same seasons as it does here in Australia.
Yeah.
But being that you're in an opposite hemisphere,
yeah,
the seasons are
a little bit different.
Opposite months.
Yeah.
So essentially the academic year from late August to mid-May.
Yep.
Give or take.
Okay.
All right.
So, all right, do you want to go over the different sports that are played in college and what season they're played in? Because each sport obviously has a different season. For example, soccer is a fall sport.
Yep.
But if you want to touch on, you know, going through maybe fall sports first, then winter, spring.
Yep. So you've got fall sports, winter sports, spring sports. And yep. I wish, like everybody wishes, I'm sure, that like you just played your sport, in the competitive season year round. Like that would be ideal, obviously. Yep. But just like here in Australia, New Zealand, different sports will be played throughout different seasons.
Yep.
But training happens all year round, right?
Yep.
So the competitive seasons that you'll find in fall sports, you're going to have men's and women's cross country, so long distance running.
Yeah.
You're going to have women's field hockey.
Mm-hmm.
You're going to have gridiron, so football
American
is a fall
football.
Sport. Good old gridiron. Men's and women's soccer is also a fall sport, as well as women's volleyball. So those are the fall sports. Most of the time for these sports, you're required to be there for preseason 2 to 3 weeks prior to the start of school.
Yeah.
So, you know, sometimes I guess when you hear us say, you get there for the start of August. Well, that's if you compete in a fall sport.
Yeah.
Then you're usually there the first week of August. And we'll get into the details of what your actual preseason training is. But essentially 2.5, 3 weeks before you actually start school, you're there for training.
Yeah.
And that's when, you know, the teams are sorted out and quite a bit of stuff happens, and then school commences late August. But then once those fall sports come to a close, and you'll get a little bit of an overlap from the fall sports to the start of the winter sports.
Yeah.
So really these sports will run from November to March. Men's and women's basketball, obviously. March Madness is when it all wraps up, the big
tournament.
National tournament. You also have men's and women's swimming and diving.
Mm-hmm.
So the swim season will be in the winter.
Cold. Heated pools.
Heated pools. Heated pool. I was waiting. Pools. I was like, some people think, oh, well, it's cold. Well, not inside where it's warm in the water. Same thing with basketball. You're competing inside.
Yeah.
But then there's also men's and women's indoor
track
and field.
Yeah.
So you get distance as well as sprints as well as field events all done indoors.
Yeah.
And how is that possible? Well, you've probably heard us say it many, many times. The facilities in the United States...
Pretty ridiculous.
Are ridiculous.
Yeah, exactly.
So full indoor facilities where...
Full indoor track and field facilities.
Yeah.
So big indoor domes, basically.
Yeah.
Well,
with a lot of sports, they'll have a bubble.
Yeah.
So they'll put a bubble over their outdoor... over their outdoor fields and heat it and keep it warm while snow's on the ground or whatever.
Yeah.
Other schools have literally like $25 million facilities that have all of that already inside.
Yeah.
But it's crazy. So preseason for the winter sports usually starts once school starts. So there's no expectation for the student to be there early.
So they'll move in basically when the general students come and move in on campus as well and all other sports.
Exactly. And then they'll essentially commence their preseason once they've arrived on campus.
Usually it'll be sort of fitness type stuff, gym work. When they first move onto campus.
Yeah, so every sport's a little bit different, but and the division that a student's participating in will have different rules around when training can start and what you know you can do for training in those early preseason periods.
But
a lot of gym work and you know if it's basketball then it's shoot around and but ultimately as soon as you get there with the start of I guess the general school year with the general population of students, you do meet as a team and you guys, you know, you start your training and get into that. So proper preseason starts in early October.
Early October, yeah.
Yeah, like we're, you know, I guess, and again, we'll go over this later in the segment, but like a soccer preseason, for instance, you know, 2-3 sessions a day for 3 straight weeks. The challenge with being a winter sport is that you're still going to have 2-3 sessions a day.
Well, all other sports other than fall sports, really, because your preseason is always going to be, if you're not a fall sport,
exactly.
Your preseason is always going to be during school.
During the school year. So, you know, you're up super early for early conditioning, You're up late for you know,
you start earlier and you finish later.
That's it, and it makes it a little bit tougher, I guess, than the fall sports when you know you're there 3 weeks before you ever have to worry about school.
Yep.
It's sort of something that you got to kind of mix in when you're a winter or a spring sport.
If you are a winter sport athlete as well, you'll always have a smaller or a shorter Christmas break.
Yep.
An athlete like myself, a soccer player, we had sort of 3 to 4 weeks off over Christmas. If you're a basketballer, track and field. Like, you've got games during that period.
Yeah, competitions are happening. Yeah, exactly. Definitely. So you may have, you know, they still give you a Christmas break.
Yeah.
It may be a week and a half.
Yeah.
Where you know, it may not be enough time to come all the way back. Mm-hmm. Sometimes families will head over and spend the Christmas with their athlete, you know, in the U.S. Other times the student athlete will, you know, you just jump in with a teammate and, you know, go and spend Christmas and that with a friend from your team.
Yeah.
But yeah, you're back on campus early for training and games and competitions and, you know, so, yeah, little bit tougher, I guess, in that sense, being a winter sport athlete, not getting enough or as much time off over Christmas. But, again, I think well worth it. Yeah, it's the nature of the beast. Well worth it when it comes to what you're actually doing throughout that time. But
Spring sports.
All right. The spring sports, they run from sort of the end of February all the way through to April and May,
depending on how far you go. If you make national tournaments,
and then even into June. The college baseball and softball World Series goes into June.
The baseball schedule is unlike any
baseball
other.
Schedule.
The number of games baseball is played is pretty ridiculous.
Softball as well.
Softball too.
Yeah. Baseball and softball, double headers, and it's crazy. But spring sports, baseball and women's softball.
Yeah.
I know that there's some men's softball players in Australia, New Zealand, but softball at the college level is a women's sport.
Yep.
You've also got men's and women's golf. You've got men's and women's tennis. You've also got men's and women's outdoor track and field. Yep. So track and field, you sort of have two seasons. You've got an indoor season and an outdoor season.
Yep.
So you're competing for a really long time. And then that off season, that you know, the fall, when it's your off season, you're still training.
Pretty intense training, yeah.
Yeah, getting ready for winter. So it's crazy. It's crazy. It's full on.
I remember my time in college, track and field, it was nonstop, basically.
Yeah.
Like, there was no time off. It was just consistent training the whole time. So
no, and it's all the same types of training. Like, it's just, you know, depending on what it is that you're competing in, it's full on.
Probably one of the reasons why the U.S. is so dominant in track and field in the Olympics and world championships.
Yeah, and a lot of those dominant athletes in the Olympics and championships are college athletes.
Yeah, still in college.
Yeah, they're still in college. Yeah. It's pretty insane. But again, all those other sports, you know, even though your competitive season will run, you know, for three and a half months, you know, the remaining 6 months of the school year, you know, there's still competitions, there's still a lot of training, and there's still a lot going on, which we're going to get into.
Exactly.
So,
next segment, we'll get into pretty much a day in the life during preseason. So stay tuned. It's going to be pretty cool. All right, so let's get into the fun stuff. A day in the life of a student athlete during preseason, which is the most sort of intense time for a student athlete. Preseason is pretty crazy. Depending on the sport and depending on the season will, I guess, determine whether or not you have to juggle classes in with that as well, which we just spoke about and we'll touch on more so now. But with sports like field hockey, soccer, you know, what else did we say? Women's volleyball, all the fall sports. Cross country. You're pretty lucky because you get to basically train and come in for preseason during the summer months, so there's no classes.
Yeah.
Whereas with all other sports, you have to sort of juggle classes and everything. But you basically arrive on campus before everyone else, and every day for three weeks, it's just, you know, eat, train, sleep, repeat. Yeah. Train again. So do you want to go over a day in the life in preseason for these guys and girls that come in, you know, for preseason during for fall sports?
Yeah. There's only one word to describe preseason for any sport in college.
What is it?
Intense.
Intense, yeah.
No matter how in shape you are coming from this side of the world, like you can be one of the most elite athletes and elite in terms of your fitness.
Yes, obviously me.
Of course you were. you know, you can be as, you know, quote unquote prepared
I thought I was prepared.
Yeah. You think that you've done everything that you can to prepare yourself. You're going to cruise into preseason. It's going to be good. Nah, it's an absolute shock to the system because, you know, typical preseason here in Australia, New Zealand, you know, you may do 3 or 4 sessions a week and with some runs like before the season gets going and then it knocks back. Whereas like literally 2-3 times a day, all day, every day for the first 3 weeks, it's just training.
Like and eat, eating. Sleep, and train.
Yeah, that's it. So, you know, really I'll talk about preseason for soccer. And really, you know, you look at how it works with all sports. It's actually very similar.
Yeah.
But I was a head coach for a soccer program. And look, the first thing, you know, kids get in and you know, first day, you know, it's just about introducing everybody and
orientation type stuff.
Yeah, orientation stuff, like, you know, doing some house cleaning stuff, making sure that everybody's into their dorms and everything's all good. But you know, basically let them sort of mingle and meet each other that night. And you know, the message was, boys, be ready. You know, 5 o'clock, 5 a.m. You need to be, you know, up at the bus.
Up and ready at the bus. Yeah,
yeah, at the bus. Not like wake up at 5 and then come to the bus. Like, no, the bus leaves at 5, whether you're on it or not.
Yeah, exactly.
And if you're not on it, that's a great first impression that you've just made to your new coaching staff. So that means that, you know, you're up at 4:30. You're buzzing to get on that bus.
Yeah.
And then you don't look back because it goes nuts from there. So 5:30 in the morning, first day that you're there, fitness testing.
Yeah.
You know, we would do what's called the Cooper test, which was, you know, 2 miles in 12 minutes. So for all you kilometers, you know, metric system people out there,
what 3.2
Ks in 12 minutes.
Yeah.
So it's moving.
Yeah.
It's moving.
It's not a light jog, Sunday stroll. It's a, it's a run, hard run.
That was the first thing that we did. Cooper test, you know, 2 miles, 12 minutes. Let's see where you're at.
Yeah.
There's some guys first day, they came in, they beat it. That was great. They weren't required, quote unquote, required, to then go to Breakfast Club every single morning. But if you didn't make it, then every single morning, starting at 5:30, you were in what we called Breakfast Club. And no, like, it wasn't like, you know, fun with friends at the Breakfast Club.
Yeah.
It was you were doing the same 2 miles, 12 minutes until you got your time, or you did it every single day for 3 weeks so that, you know, you were in shape and you were ready to go. So that was one thing. And then we also mixed in, you know, other fitness tests, but typically that early morning session was fitness.
Running.
Hard running. We did the hills and sprints.
The backwards mile. The
backwards mile. Talk about
that. Hurt.
Yeah. That's it. 1.6 Ks backwards.
But running as hard as you can backwards.
Yeah. Like really striding. Like, you never felt burning in your hamstrings
backwards mile. It hurts.
It makes a man out of you.
Yeah.
Or a woman.
Exactly.
It makes you tough. Yeah. That's the best way to put it. But fitness in the mornings. Now, after that run, if we were away from campus, we would bus everybody back, or if we were on campus, everyone would go to breakfast, and it was a team thing. Everyone's there together, sit together,
finish
eat together.
Up around 6:37. Head to breakfast at that time.
Yeah, about 7 o'clock in the breakfast. 7:30 breakfast.
Yeah.
And then there was about an hour. After that hour and a half to where you let your breakfast settle and you were able to go back to your, you know, to the dorm and probably have a nap.
I know that was an hour.
Yeah, that was what most people did.
I used to shower and jump straight into bed, smash a bottle of water and jump straight into bed for a half hour sort of kip. But
yeah, 10 a.m. we were back. 10:30 a.m. we were back on the field for the first technical session of the day.
Yeah.
So it was doing, you know, the actual drills and different things, still pushing hard from a fitness standpoint, a lot of fitness with a ball.
Yeah.
You know, and that went for about an hour and a half. So by noon, we were done.
Campus,
and then they're back on campus for lunch. Again, everybody's sitting together, eating lunch.
Eating as a team, yeah.
Yeah, and then, again, another hour and a half
break
that you could break. And again, a lot of times people will go and nap.
Go
and get a nap in.
Yeah.
But 3 o'clock, we were back you know, back on the field again for a second technical session. Mm-hmm. That one, not so much drills. We would warm up with drills, but then we would go into full scrimmage, like just play.
Yeah.
You know, and we would do some small sided and then open it up to full 11v11. Mm-hmm. And again, you know, think about this happens with all sports. This isn't just soccer. This is sort of the day in the life. But yeah, it's just easy for me, I guess, to explain it in the way that we did it.
For full sports anyway. We'll touch on the other sports in a second. We have to throw classes in there as well. But
yeah, definitely. So 3:30 to 5, you know, that was sort of the second session.
Dinner together.
Or actually the third session. First one was fitness, two technical sessions.
Yep.
And then back on campus to have dinner.
As a team, yeah.
Yeah, so 5:30 to 6,
yep.
Dinner. Yep. And then you had about 45 minutes after dinner to relax. Mm-hmm. And then what we would do is have everybody meet back at the athletic facilities because we were going to have our fourth session of the day, which actually wasn't a physical session. We would do some recovery stuff.
Team bonding type stuff
as
well.
We would do team building.
Preseason, yeah.
Yeah, team building activities, trust activities, things to really build that team chemistry as quickly and as effectively as we could. You know, a lot of introductory stuff, you know, people telling them where they came from and, you know, their sort of story and all that. Sometimes that you know, once we had a few days, we would use that evening session as video. We would film our training. We would watch where we were poor in our training and make the commitment for the next day to improve in those areas. Mm-hmm. But either team building or video and even definitely when we were preparing for our first sort of games and matches like preseason opponents, we were we were breaking down video and planning for that. So and then you know once that's done, you know, 7:30 to about
8:39,
9 o'clock. You're free to go and do what you want,
which is sleep. That's all you want to do.
That's it. Because again, remember, you back up and you're on the bus for 5:30.
The first sort of couple of days, you're pretty excited, and after a training session, you don't want to go sleep because you want to sort of talk with the guys and play FIFA and stuff like that. But I guarantee you, by about the third or fourth day, the only thing you'll want to do is sleep after those sessions because you'll need it.
Yeah.
And then you sleep and basically back up again the next day.
Some of those
doing the same thing again for 3 weeks straight.
What a lot of our guys would do, you know, once they were free in the evening, 9 o'clock free. Yeah, they would go to the athletic training room and get in the ice bath. Sit in the ice bath for a good 15 minutes and then go back and do their thing. But yeah, next day you back up. You know, we start 5:30 sharp. Mm-hmm. And look, like, yeah, it's a test. You know, it's a mental test. It's a physical test. It throws you straight into the life of a full-on training professional environment. You know, and that was the expectation. And as hard as it was on the athletes, like, it's just as hard on us, the coaches.
Yeah, exactly.
You know, like, we're the ones that have to, you know, once they check out and they go back to their dorms, you know, and they're hanging out after 9, we'll from 9 to 11:30, we're planning the next day, getting all that sorted, and then we're back up 5:30, making sure that we're pushing them through it. And a lot of times, you know, I know certainly I was a coach that got involved, and I guess my philosophy, I will never ask you to do something that I won't do myself. I would get straight involved in all the training sessions and you know,
fitness sessions.
Fitness. Like I love the fact that I could go in and these kids are in their peak. You know, I'll go and show them up and say, no, this is how you do it. And if I can do it at my age, you can do it at yours.
Yeah.
So it's just, preseason is unlike anything that you've experienced ever before.
So that's with fall sports. Let's touch on all other sports in other athletic season. So because it's a little bit different, you have classes as well to throw in there. So
that's it.
Like we mentioned before, that doesn't mean you maybe sacrifice a session here and there. It's, okay, well then, if we've got classes throughout the day, you're up earlier and you're in bed later.
That's it. Yeah. But then too, what they'll do is they'll do a good job of, you know, the coach will tell you, let's say that you're a basketball athlete, that you've got gym, you know, you're in the gym from 10:30 until noon. Mm-hmm. So and then you'll have a little bit more of a break, I guess, in the afternoon. So you'll set your class schedule around those times that you're going to be you're going to be training, but you're still up at 5:30. For fitness testing, weights, something physically draining,
Even a training session they'll have before classes as well.
Well, that's if they know that they can knock that out early, then maybe they'll do their fitness sessions in a shorter period throughout the day.
Yeah.
So it'll be structured a little bit different, I guess, to how we structured ours, but just as intensive, just as much training, just as much expectation, probably even more expectation because, again, you know, after you've done a big fitness session in the morning, like, no, you don't just go back to your dorm and sleep for the next 3 hours.
Yeah, you don't get
the
luxury to have the rest. And
you know, go to breakfast, you know, get that in you. You may have a short break there, but then you're off to class, and it's your responsibility to be in class, do your job on the academic side so that you can continue to participate in the athletic side.
Yeah.
And then you have, you know, sessions maybe a little bit later in the afternoon. You know, still you'll have your same sort of 3 meal times throughout the day, and then sessions in the evening.
Yeah.
But then you've got homework and
exactly you know, you've got all that on top of it.
Some of those, you know, I guess the winter sports and the spring sports, their evening session. You know, maybe some days it's video, but then some of those other days it's also like mandatory study tables.
Yeah.
So where you'll you know instead of having an evening session of film and video, it's you know you're in the library with the team, making sure that you're doing your homework and that's listening that's sort of a
grades,
team that's a team building activity as well because you're all there together and you do that. But it's I would have to say I prefer the fall sport sort of mentality, getting to be there early. What's hard for fall sports kids though is that you get there early and you get used to this regimented session for 3 weeks. and then like all of a sudden all these other people start showing up.
Yeah.
And you're like, wait a minute. Like,
you get used to being the only people on campus and doing what you like.
There's more people. Like, yeah. And so I think, you know, it's harder in that sense because then there's, you know, especially on the coaching staff and keeping a team together and focused because you had, you know, their sole focus for 3 weeks. And then once those distractions and other friends and you know, girls and boys and you know, like all that other stuff that comes in after you've spent really 3 hard weeks trying to just prepare.
Yeah.
It sort of throws a wrench in the spokes and you have to kind of figure ways to bring them back together. Whereas with the winter and the spring sports, you know, you don't know any different.
Mm.
So it's probably, yeah, like I see challenges. I see positives and negatives in both. Mm-hmm. But look, no matter what sport you play, whether it's a fall sport, winter sport, spring sport, you're going to have a very, very tough and grueling preseason.
Yeah.
The best thing that you can do for yourself is to, you know, yes, prepare yourself as much as possible for that before you go.
Yeah.
Stay as fit as possible because if you go in unfit, it's going to hurt that much more.
Yeah, exactly. But nutrition is super important as well throughout preseason. You need to be drinking at the very least, like 3 liters of water every day,
if not more,
like more,
yeah,
definitely more, because you're going to be sweating that out during the warmer months.
I think the one thing that's very different about that's a part of your life as a college athlete in the United States is the concept of recovery, and that's, you know, when you train 2, maybe 3 times a week, play 1 game on the weekend, like you naturally sort of recover, you know, like you don't. There are some athletes that we have that do spend time on recovery, and I think every athlete should spend time on recovery, and because that's what keeps you healthy.
Yeah.
But certainly in the U.S. collegiate system, because of the amount, like you're training 6 out of 7 days a week with your day off, still having something to do, right? Yeah. So it's 7 days a week. You're full on, and a lot of those, you know, they take time for recovery sessions.
Yeah.
So some of those trainings, especially as you get deeper into your season, it's a lot of recovery in the pool. You know, you're doing pool work, you're in the ice baths, you're doing a lot of stuff, stretching and yoga and different things to really keep you as loose and limber as possible to prevent injuries. But
you have full access to physios and athletic trainers as well. So if you are injured or you're feeling sore, which you will be, I guarantee you'll be feeling sore, definitely within the first 2 weeks.
Yeah.
You have complete access to physios, athletic trainers. If you are injured, it doesn't mean you miss training and go see the physio once a week. You're in with working with them every single day. So
yeah. And the thing is too, like, I think a lot of kids are shocked at how tough it is.
Yeah.
Like the physical side of it, especially in some of the more elite programs, but even, you know, like majority, like you're there because you want to be there and you want to push yourself to be better and elite. And, mm-hmm. and that means, you know, you're going to be training all the time. And I think that's a shock to a lot of kids. And, you know, if they take a knock, you know, like, again, it's not 2 days until you train again and you can recover from it. Like if you take a knock and, you know, say that your shins are bruised or your muscles are sore, like get used to that.
Yeah, there's no escaping
the muscles being
sore. Like they're going
to
be sore.
And that's where it becomes so much of a mental test to push yourself through pain. Like push yourself through that because the only thing that's stopping you, like I would always say, okay, so are you hurt or are you injured?
Yeah.
Because you can play hurt.
Yeah.
Like you your muscles hurt. Should hurt.
Yeah.
Like they're supposed to hurt. Like you should hurt because of how much we're doing. You should hurt. And when that becomes you understand that and you push through that. Like the first sign that I'm sore, I can't run and I can't do this. Well, sorry, mate. The guy behind you, he feels the same thing and he's pushing through it.
It's more of a red flag if you're not sore because then coaching staff knows that you're not putting in enough effort.
Like, right. Like you
need to be sore.
Exactly. You understand that yes, you're sore. Look, if you've pulled something and you're injured, you can't train if you're injured. You're not going to be penalized if you're legitimately injured. But if you're sore and you're hurting and that means, oh, no, I can't train in this afternoon session. I can't do this. Well, look, you're going to get passed up.
Yeah.
You know, you're going to get passed up because everyone is hurting and everyone, you know, it's building that mental strength in addition to the physical. So
preseason, it's a tough time.
Preseason, tough time. Not trying to scare anybody.
No, a day in the life.
Just telling you what it's like.
A day in the life, exactly, during preseason. And Matt said, keyword, intense.
It's intense.
It's definitely intense. But next, we'll touch on a day in the life during the athletic season. So juggling classes, what the day looks like on competition days and on non-competition days. So we'll get into that in the next segment. All right, so we've touched on preseason. Now we'll touch on during the athletic season and managing classes. I remember it like it was yesterday. The athletic season was like, it was my favorite part of it all.
So good.
You know, game days, even not on game days, you know, you're still training every single day. It's still very intense, as we mentioned. But let's go over what a day looks like during season on a non-competition day.
Yep. So non-competition days, we're still up early.
Yeah.
Okay. So that's one thing that, you know, it's all about structure. So first thing that, you know, 5:30, 6, somewhere in there. We're either typically every single day, you know, we would have a 5:30 run.
Yeah.
And we would run for about 40 minutes.
And when we say we're definitely referring to all sports. All sports are the exact same during their season.
So it was up again, all the boys as well as the women's team, the cross country team. You know,
as in the athletic program,
the athletic department.
Each
team is up early, and at the very least, just going for a run.
Yeah.
Two times a week, in addition to that run, we would have a short and sharp gym session, like with on the weights, doing some different things that you know, in season weight training, a little bit different to off season. You know, you make your biggest gains in the off season.
Yeah.
You sustain that and throughout the season. So, that was, I guess, the you know, early morning still up, and then straight from there, we would let the athletes go, and some of them would go straight to breakfast. Others would go back to their room, have a quick kip before then catching the tail into breakfast and then going to class.
Yeah. Some people have breakfast at home. They may have their milk and cereal or whatever. Yeah, it may exactly. Be. Like, you don't have to go to the cafeteria, obviously.
Yep.
I just did because it was part of my package. So
yeah, it was easy.
Me and all the other international boys would just meet up at the same time or walk together to, you know, to breakfast. Every now and then I had a nap and caught the tail end of breakfast. But straight from there after breakfast, you'd Hitting classes pretty much.
Off to class. You know, most of our guys, were smart in the sense that they didn't schedule too many 7:30 classes.
Yeah.
You know, 8:30 classes if they didn't have to.
Yeah.
If it was the only time that the class was offered, then obviously they got to be there. But really from, you know, let's say 9 o'clock to noon, yeah. 10, 11, 12, mm-hmm. You know, you may have two classes and maybe one class in the afternoon from 1 to 2.
Yeah.
With lunch in between. So again, you know, when it's a normal school day, you know, no real responsibilities, I guess, for our team.
Yeah.
Throughout those times.
So sort of 8 a.m. through to 1:30, 2 o'clock. It's
just your classes.
You go to lunch and then
But we were on the field 3:30 sharp. Training started at 3:30, which means that, you know, you needed to be down in the facilities, get your gear on. Be there ready to go on the field for a 3:30 start. Yeah. And if you were the kid that was, you know, rocking up late every day, then I just point and you'd go and bear crawl.
bear crawl. Bag of cement over the shoulder, go do a couple of laps before you can join in.
Yeah, that's it. Like, you're not going to come in and interrupt my session, especially if you're not warmed up.
Yeah.
You know, so yeah, that was sort of the way it went. And from 3:30 to 5:30, was training on the field. You know, we would do a solid 2 hours, sometimes a little bit more than that, because, you know, unlike preseason, we don't get you as much.
You're really having only one sort of full session a day.
Yep.
2 hours, 2.5 hours, definitely. And depending on what the coach wanted, we could have even gone longer.
Yeah. But we tend to get, you know, majority of what we want done in that amount of time. And
yep.
Once training was done at 5:30, it's, you know, get showered up in the locker rooms, whatever, off to dinner. Mm-hmm. We'd still try and get, you know, everybody together as a team, you know, and I think typically that happens regardless, like when whether it's breakfast, lunch, dinner, you get used to eating with, you know, your peer group, which is your team.
Yeah.
6:30 dinner, 7:30, every single night team meetings. Those team meetings, it was either, you know, again, being in season, we were breaking down video footage, looking at opponents, planning ahead. We would do, daily habits, where we would talk about a new topic every day from the mental side to prepare yourself and stay mentally focused throughout that season.
Yep.
You know, we would also do study tables at least 3 times a week. So that team meeting is study tables, where we'd have you in the library and, you know, for at least 2 hours. I know that you're doing your homework 3 times a week.
Yeah.
And then after study tables, it was you again free to do what you want, but from, you know, 5:30 through to 8:30.
8:30, 9 o'clock. Yeah,
you know, it's either classes, training, studies, whatever it is, and so usually that time once we do let you go, maybe a couple of quick games of FIFA or you know, whatever it is, play a few video games, get on Call of Duty for a little bit, and then
just relax.
Yeah, and then crash and get up and again do it all over again.
Do it all over again. Awesome. So that's what happens on an non-competition day, non-competitive day. Let's say you have a game that day, or a meet, or a tournament. What happens? What does the day look like on a competition day?
Well, look, we could always guarantee 2 games a week when you're in season.
Yeah.
You know, usually Wednesdays and Saturdays. If
you're a baseballer, like, you're playing every day.
Yeah, baseballers, you're playing probably 4 doubleheaders a week. Three or four doubleheaders a week.
Yeah.
Baseball is crazy. But yeah. So when it came to competition day, if it was a home game, you know, the game was, it was either an afternoon or an evening. Evenings under the lights, and everything would go as normal, you know, throughout the normal school day.
Yeah. Team sports. And when I say team sports, like basketball, soccer, field hockey, baseball, softball, if it's a home game, chances are you won't miss too many classes during the day, or you won't miss any at all.
Yeah, like if it's like an afternoon game, you might miss your last class,
very last class, yeah,
or something like that. If it's a home game,
yeah.
With
golf and track and field and that, if you have a meet, whether it's at home or not, chances are it's for the whole day, so you're probably going to miss, if not all your classes for that day.
Right. Now, those missing class, those are excused absences.
Yeah. So you're not going to get in trouble for it.
No. They understand it's a school-sanctioned event, but that doesn't mean that you don't have to do the work or...
You're still expected to catch up.
Yeah. Like,
get the notes you missed.
You were expected to get that stuff before you left. Like, if there were homework assignments or there were things, then before you left for the day,
yeah.
you know, you've spoken to your teachers and you know your assignments, or it's in the online portal that you can log into and you can see what's going to happen. Now, if you know, there wasn't stuff for you to do before, then immediately upon your return, it's getting the notes and making sure that, you know, you're caught up, maybe, you know, meeting the teacher in their office hours to just talk about a few things if you're unsure. But I sort of skipped over a part. The best thing about game day, what did I make? I used to make you guys wear
suit and tie.
That was it. Shirt, at least a shirt and tie. You know, but game day, it was business.
The whole team. Whether you're playing in
whether you're first team, reserve team, doesn't matter who you are. It's game day. Yeah. Every single one of you are in a shirt and tie.
Yeah.
And that's what everybody knows that. Yeah.
Okay. The soccer team or the basketball team or whoever. Yeah. They have a game today. It's game day.
That's it. And look, every team's a little bit different, I guess. Like, but typically you'll have a game day uniform that you'll wear like at school. Maybe a polo and chinos or you know, and dress shoes. You look pretty sharp before the game.
But it is a mental thing as well, and it's something I've just thought of then. Like, the team I currently coach a team here in Australia, and the boys may have a Friday night or a Monday night game, and they have class all day. You know, they're not probably not thinking about the game too often during the day until maybe they get home from school, and then they have to travel however far to the game. Like, we're waking up, we're in suit and tie, we know it's game day. My head's already thinking about the game
because I had to put my suit and my shirt and tie on, or I had to put my uniform on because it's game day. I'm already thinking about the game.
Yeah,
you know, and look, if it's an away game, you're typically, depending on how far we've got to drive, like, we've got a big motor coach and, you know, typically traveling with the women's team as well,
because
they'll have a game before ours. But it's usually leaving at 5:30 in the morning, drive 6 hours, you know, you get there for an afternoon game, and then, you know, turn around and jump back on, drive 6 hours back. You didn't have to wear, you know, shirt and tie on the bus. You know, usually it was a team warm-up. Collared shirt, still, you know, dressed in team attire. But if you were attending classes on the day of a game, you were always doing so, looking absolutely sharp,
ready to go. Exactly. And so, you may, if you're playing away from home, chances are you'll probably miss a few classes during the day, depending on how far away the venue is. Typically for us, we would travel sort of max 3-4 hours.
Typically for
an away game, so we would miss majority of the afternoon's classes. But again, that doesn't mean you just get to skip out on all the work that's done during those classes.
Because we as coaches like notify the teachers as well that, hey, we've got a game and we're leaving at this time. And if those teachers have an early morning class that we haven't, you know, we leave after that. But that student decides to not go to that class because it's game day. And they were leaving. Well, that doesn't fly.
Coaching staff know about that.
No, we'll know about that 100%. And you know, you still, you know, if you got classes before we leave, then it's your expectation to go to those classes. Sometimes, you know, we would leave right in the middle of a class, but you're still expected to be there for the first half of that class.
And there's never too many issues with it anyway.
No,
because at the end of the day, you want to pass classes so you're eligible to play. So
No pass, no play.
So exactly. So everyone actually wants to pass classes. There's always the odd occasion where someone does something like that. I definitely got in trouble one morning because I did that.
Fair crawls.
Missed a morning class because it was game day. But I paid for it.
There you go.
I paid for it. So
very good.
But during the season, if it's a game day, morning suit and tie, potentially miss a couple of classes in the afternoon. If it's a home game, straight after classes, you may go back to your room, get in your tracksuit, your team's tracksuit, meet 3 hours before the game in the locker room, have a quick team meeting, maybe eat a couple of bananas, muesli bars, waters, and then hour and a half before the game, you're in the dressing sheds.
Well, the night before the game, too. I just remember that night before the game, we would have team meal.
Yeah.
So the night before, we knew that you know, we would bring them together and we would have like chicken spaghetti we would carb load, you know, the night before, make sure that we knew what everybody was putting into their body the day before a game. But then on game day, it's that preparation about 3 hours before, music in the locker room, like as we get closer and closer to...
My favorite times were the music before the game and jumping in the locker room, the bus rides to the away games. Like that, for me, that was the most fun times.
Yeah, well, like the best thing too, like, you know, we did as good of a job as we could to make the boys feel like they were in as professional of an environment as they could. Like, while they were in class looking sharp in their suit and ties like we asked them to, we were prepping all of their gear. It was in their locker by the time that they got to the locker room. Mm-hmm. Jersey was hung up. You know, the kit that we were wearing that day was hung up.
That's it up there. Yeah. That's my locker up there, literally my locker. So
there you go. You know, there's a stool there. Like I said, everything was as professional as possible so that, you know, it literally, you watched on ESPN, you know, the guys leaving the games or getting to the games in a, you know, dressed well, like you guarantee that all their gear is in their locker ready to go. They just put it on.
Exactly like that. Lean over a bit so they, if it's in the middle.
There it is.
That's what I came to every game day in the locker room, every home game anyway. If it was an away game.
Jerseys were still hung up.
Jerseys were still hung up.
But you would take it, you would put it in your bag, and then we would go and we would get on the bus.
Yeah.
But yeah, it's as professional of a setup as possible. The expectation is professionalism, you know, acting right, dress right, look sharp, be switched on. And again, that's not just soccer. That's all sports.
Yeah.
Because again, you're going out to represent your school, represent your mascot, represent the town, represent something much, much bigger than just yourself
and your family. Yeah.
Yeah, exactly. Like you're all the hard work that you put in throughout the week is paid on those game days. Yeah. And yeah, I still get goosebumps talking about game days because it's just, I remember it as a player. I remember it in being a coach. It felt the same.
Yeah.
And it killed me that I couldn't go out on the field and like do anything. Yeah. But I was certainly very animated.
One thing we didn't touch on as well, most teams or athletic programs will have sort of a first team and a second team. And on game days, if you're not a part of the first team, that doesn't mean you just get the day off. A lot of the time, you're still training.
Yeah.
You're training in the afternoon. You'll finish in time to go and have dinner and then, you know, get back and watch the first team play. So,
yep.
I don't know. I experienced that a couple of times in my first year. I didn't necessarily make the first squad, so I was out training in the afternoon, trying to prove myself in front of the assistant coach, and then back obviously in time to watch the first team play. But luckily enough, after only a few sessions, I was able to get into the first team and regularly play. But first team or second team, it's the exact same intensity, the schedule.
Same expectation.
Exactly, same expectation.
Still dressed up on game day.
Whether you're playing
or
not.
Like, there's no separation there.
No.
But between the two. So.
Awesome. So, look, we'll wrap it up there, but a brief summary. Preseason, super intense.
Very intense.
No matter what sport, you're getting three sessions a day in almost.
You will be sore.
You will be very sore.
You'll be expected to train through soreness.
Yeah, like, there's no way around it. You'll be sore. If you're a full sport, you have the luxury of preseason training without classes.
Yeah.
Winter and spring, unfortunately, you have all of that, except you're juggling classes as well.
Juggling classes as well. But your schedule will be structured in a way that will support that.
Yeah.
So it's still just as challenging from the physical standpoint, you know, mentally getting used to balancing and juggling your classes and that.
Yeah. And it does take time to adjust.
Like, it does.
Yeah, it definitely took me a little bit of time to adjust. But once I got in the groove and into the rhythm of it all, it was pretty easy. You know, get up, eat, sleep, train, study, go to bed, pretty much.
That's it. And here's where, like, hopefully what I hope this podcast does for everybody is, you know, you always get these everyone wants to be in a city.
Yeah.
You know, oh, I want to go to a college in a big city. There's so much stuff to do. Well, look, I'm sorry, but you can travel to a big city in holiday times because that is the only...
Yeah.
Like, that is the only time that you're going to have to actually go and experience something because of how regimented and because of how structured and because of how full on.
You're not going
to
have time to go see a city.
No. Like, we got kids that are going to college.
Yeah,
exactly. We have kids that are going to college in a city that still haven't been to the city because their schedules are that full. So, again, you know, no matter where you go, big college, small college, north, south, east, west, coastline, central, you know, whatever it is, all right, you're going to get this same experience.
Yeah.
You know, to be a college athlete is a big deal.
Yeah.
It takes a big commitment. The expectation is high.
Yeah.
And look, it's a matter of committing and sticking to it, buying into it, and going and having the experience of an absolute lifetime. And yeah. and really, you know, we sit here and we talk about it with passion because, like, this is why we do the job that we do.
Yeah.
Because we've both lived the life of a student athlete. You know, like, I vicariously lived through every single one of our kids.
Oh, no, I love seeing photos yeah. that the athletes send us. We're in preseason at the moment, just dripping with sweat. Oh, dripping with sweat.
Or in the ice baths, like, this is the best thing ever. but, yeah, it really is, you know, the day in the life of a college athlete is something that I could talk about it until I'm blue in the face.
Yeah, me too.
You know,
it was my favorite time.
Yeah,
it was the best time of my life.
Best time of my life.
Exactly.
But you know, like you're a young adult. You've got responsibilities, but it's still not like real world stuff yet. You're playing games. You know, oh Jesus.
Yeah, no.
But yeah, you know, just be prepared. You know, I guess enjoy it. And yeah, make the most of it because those 4 years gone like that.
Exactly, gone very quickly. But look. Hopefully everyone enjoyed that episode. I'm actually exhausted just thinking about all of the...
My hamstrings are...
Exactly, my hamstrings are aching. But that was a good episode. Hopefully you guys spotted Marco's head in the background there somewhere. I don't know where it is because I haven't done it yet.
Yeah.
But it'll be throughout this episode somewhere. All you have to do is email me with the minute and second that you've seen it. And you'll be in the running for a prize.
You can't miss it.
This week, so
great looking head.
Yeah, you won't miss it. But Matt, that was a good episode.
Hey,
we just high fived for anyone that wasn't watching on
there
YouTube.
You go.
That's listening.
It's great to
podcast.
Be back. It's great to be back. Great like I said, I took a week hiatus.
Yep.
Had to go and take care of some business overseas. But yeah, quick week back into it, and yeah, podcast bang.
Podcast straight up. But don't forget to subscribe to all our channels. If you have any feedback, have any ideas on episodes, we received another couple this week. So. We'll look to cover those in the following in the coming weeks. But yeah, guys, hopefully you enjoyed that episode, and we'll be back next week.
See you next week.
See you guys.